Education. Mr. Lehman.
Good morning, Your Honor. Afternoon. May it please the Court, Counsel. My name is Matt Lehman. I represent the appellant in this matter. The matter is before the Court on limited appeal from the District Court's denial of the plaintiff's motion on April 16, 2013. As a matter of law, the plaintiff's motion to alter the entry of summary judgment for defendants was converted to a Rule 60B motion. However, on April 16, 2013, the District Court entered an order denying the appellant's motion on the merits, and for the same reasons as set forth in its memorandum on summary judgment.
But did she ever identify someone similarly situated to herself, but treated better?
Your Honor, our evidence was direct evidence of racial discrimination in that.
Pardon?
Direct evidence of race discrimination in that we had three independent witnesses who heard her direct supervisor describe her using the N-word.
Right.
Whether or not there, I
but
don't
you
know.
You could have, I mean, you could, one could have strong dislikes of a racial group, but not actually act on them, right?
Your Honor, in this
must
case.
Must be very common. I mean, people have a lot of bigotry, but yet they will treat people from the group that they despise in a perfectly polite way, right?
Your Honor, I do agree with you on that. However, in this case, actions were taken, and in the regard that the plaintiff in this matter, who in approximately 30 years of teaching, had two disciplinary acts.
But, you know, well, wait a second. She's got this remarkable absenteeism. She's got 93 absentees in tardiness, whatever, in a 6 month period, and then earlier, I think 76 or 79 in a similar period.
And I would like to point
there's
out
a lot, and you know what she did with that child, you know, the undressing the child and so on, a lot of very questionable behavior by her, And so what is the evidence that she would have been tolerated but for Gonzalez disliking black people or some black people?
Your Honor, I'd like to point out for the tardies that you cite, I think were long before this principal arrived at Washington High School. Additionally, in regards to the, I think there are disputed issues of fact as to exactly what occurred with the special education or special needs child that should have required the denial of summary judgment. Our client has denied that those events occurred, as stated by the defendants.
Denied what? The incident about the child who was undressed without the parents being notified, and then when she had the father, you know, accused of child abuse with no evidence.
Your Honor, that child, to my understanding, was undressed by a nurse within the school. The plaintiff was not physically present when that was done. And
she was supposed to notify the parents to see whether they wanted to, whether they wanted her undressed. And she did accuse the father of child abuse, didn't she?
That is correct, Your Honor. She did notify.
Well, no possible basis for that.
Well, she did notify DCFS. As a teacher, she is required, even under any suspicion of child abuse, to notify DCFS. Based upon my understanding of the facts, this individual.
But what basis did she have to suspect the child's father of sexual abuse?
Supposedly, this student told her that her father had kissed her in the private area. I don't know if this gets away a little bit from the nature of our appeal, but that is the evidence that she set forth.
Speaking of the nature of your appeal, I don't know whether the district court was right or wrong in its summary judgment ruling, but since this is a 60B, and we've said I don't know how many times that a 60B motion is not a substitute for a timely appeal, in how does your position square with that very limited review that we have?
I understand your question, Your Honor. And our issue here was that in reaching the substantive merits of the motion that was filed, we were left with, unfortunately, that's what we were left to appeal. The court, and I apologize, I appear to be out of time, Your Honor.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead and answer the question. So.
The court, in reaching the substantive issues on the appeal, that's what we were left with to appeal to this court. They didn't deny this motion under any basis enumerated under Rule 60B, and it made it, I think, hamstrung the plaintiff to a certain extent in determining exactly how they should approach the appeal. So we took what we had from the district court on our appeal.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Lehman. Ms. Kendall?
May it please the court, I'm Patricia Kendall on behalf of the Board of Education of the City of Chicago and Florence Gonzalez. Judge Posner, to answer your question with regards to similarly situated, it was an undisputed fact in the motion for summary judgment statement of facts submitted by the board defendants that Ms. Banks admitted at paragraph 75 that she could not identify any similarly situated persons who were treated more favorably. In addition, with regards to Judge Hamilton's question, it is the board's position that Ms. Banks has identified no extraordinary circumstances whatsoever before this court, the court below, or in her reply brief, which would justify vacating the judgment under Rule 60. The only errors that she has proposed at any time are errors of fact and law, that the judge below made errors of fact and law, and it is undisputed in this circuit that errors of fact and law are not sufficient to warrant vacating a judgment under Rule 60.
They don't require. The district judge can correct mistakes, but there's no obligation to do so.
It is an abuse of discretion standard, and as this court has stated, it is not an abuse of discretion for the judge not to do something it was not asked to do.
Do you have any comment on Mr. Lehman's, what Mr. Lehman said about this child, this incident of the undressing of the child and accusation of the father?
In what specific regards that with what Mr. Lehman said?
Well, is he accurate that really was an open question?
He is not accurate that is an open question. It is undisputed that the Ms. Banks never raised the issue of possible sexual abuse of the child until after the parents confronted them about being angry with regards to the unpermissive examination of their child. After that meeting was held, Ms. Banks asked for an arrest because she claimed that the father battered her during the meeting. When that did not happen, she stated that she knows how to get things done. And subsequently, within hours of that, she called DCFS to report alleged child abuse. DCFS then subsequently, after removing the father from the home, found her allegations unfounded. And as a result of this dispute that they had at the school. Mm-hmm. If there are no further questions from the panel, I will take my seat.
Thank you very much.
And we ask that the judgment below be affirmed.
Mr. Lehman, do you have anything further?
Again, I think that it is disputed as to exactly what happened with this child. My understanding from the record is that Ms. Banks reported to the school nurse who did the examination. After that point, the parents were brought in. Other than that, I have nothing, and they ask that the district court's ruling. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much to both counsel, and court will be in recess.